But it is, it seems that it is opposite. First avidya should go and then prem should come. What? Govinda Bhagat.
No, prem should come first, then avidya.
How it will come if it, there is avidya? Anartha may it come?
You are kripa.
I know.
If there is anartha, avidya, then prem may come? Have you heard anywhere?
Gurudev.
Who is Gurudev?
Srila Prabhupada used to say that once one gets a higher taste, then the lower taste goes away. He gains a superior taste, and then the taste that is remaining in this world is no longer tasteful.
The question is there, that if there is avidya, anartha, and all other bad things, may prem come in that stage?
In the introduction, the first chapter of Madhurya Kadamani, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is expressing how Bhakti Devi is in the possession of the pure devotee. And totally independent.
Jahar Prasade Bhai. What is the meaning?
By the mercy of Gurudev, prem comes.
Comes. First and then avidya. Otherwise, no way. But we think opposite. This would be more purified, then you will have to hear and to have the kripa of Gurudev. So it is not good siddhant. By the mercy of Gurudev, serve him. Prem comes. First, it will come the rays of prem. Then very little prem. In the shape of Shraddha, Nishtha, Ruchi. Gradually they will go away. Bhakti will coming, and they will gradually go. When prem will come, then totally avidya will go. Otherwise not. Understand?
Yes.
Second thing, we have heard that Dronacharya asked his disciple that give me that thing.
Thumb.
To whom?
Ekalavya.
And he did not thought anything. At once he gave.
Cut.
Took. How strong disciple. We should try to do like this, no? If you are not doing service to our Gurudev like this, how you can be advanced devotee? So he was advanced devotee.
He disobeyed his guru.
How? He gave at once the thumb, and how he disobeyed?
That was the consequence of his.
We should follow or not him?
Sorry?
Should we follow him?
No.
Why not?
No.
Why? We should not give our thumb to Gurudev?
Our hearts.
What?
Our hearts.
What a defect in that
Ekalavya. He was
yes?
Krishna. He was
inimical
to Krishna.
He was inimical to Krishna's devotee. He had pain in his heart against the devotee of Krishna.
He offended his guru.
He wanted to finish them all.
Yes.
Dronacharya first refused that I will not
accept you as a disciple.
No, no.
I will not
teach you art of
archery.
He told that I will take archery vidya to you. From you, and when he refused totally, then he went to that boy went to
jungle,
and he established a statue of Dronacharya, and he took everything, and became so expert. Dronacharya knew his heart, and he said that he thought that he has not obeyed me. He don't want to obey me, but he thinks that he is what he wants. It should be fulfilled. So he was learning all things. Gurudev, knowing this, he took the thumb. This thumb. That is, he cannot do anything. Because he was like a demon, not like a, but demon. He fought with Krishna, he wanted to kill Krishna. So Krishna took his chakra and at last, and he was dead. So he was demon. But in his own, I have seen, not listening me, they don't want to listen. They keep name of their disciples, Ekalabhya Maharaj ki jai. So many eclipses. They think that he was so
advanced
devotee that he gave thumb. This is not good. So we should try to know the inner heart of Gurudev, and in this way we want to serve him. I like to be with Gurudev because all will honor me. This is good thing? When a photo will be taken, then I will be in front of Gurudev. Because all I know, he is so
close to Gurudev.
What he wants, we should know and do accordingly. This is Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena. If we can think and understand the Siddhant, then very soon we will develop our hearts to Gurudev and having his mercy, prem, and then avidya nash. Gaur Premanande.
Gurudev, how could Ekalabhya learn archery so well if Dronacharya wasn't?
It was the abhas of kripa. Abhas kripa, you know?
Semblance of mercy.
By this, we can know how. If we are doing offensing, aparad, so much wealth will come, reputation may come. Why they will come? To finish our bhakti. But we think that, oh, if I am doing nama aparad, yet so much wealth is coming, so this is name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Gurudev, you say that when we're chanting and if we're thinking about getting material benefits, then those benefits come to us. We should know that it's just
waterfall.
It's just not real bhakti that we're doing. We're not. It's not beneficial to us. If these benefits come to us, we're chanting, our mind is wanting this and that, then...
No. Name is knowing everything. He knows all things that you don't know. He knows your heart more than you. So if you have no desire anything, any will not come. But you have internally desire, but you are not knowing, understanding. But he knows, so he will send. If you don't want that thing, you will refuse. But you are not refusing, oh, it is coming, come on, come on, come on. Then this is desire.
Sri Gurudev, is it possible that once having got the mercy of the Guru, is it possible once having gotten mercy of Guru, that, and ignorance goes, that later on, due to some bad association or lack of association, that the anarthas will come back?
Again,
or is it actually,
again clear.
You said that prema will come and avidya will go, but is it possible for such a devotee having received that mercy,
having if he has attained prem, no chance.
So if anarthas,
but he is thinking that I have received the mercy of Gurudev, but is still not anything. Some praise is coming, some money is coming, and he thinks that this is the mercy of actually Gurudev mercy. Then he will fall.
So when prem comes and avidya goes, there's no anarthas?
No, no prem. At that time there was no prem actually. Not even avas. What was that? Pratibimba. Not even pratibimba. Very, very high things of this. You played that good, but last night, very well. But your playing becomes some jokerness. You are playing the part of that Brahmin of Kashi. No? You wanted Chintamani. So much valuable thing. Your acting was somewhat better, but more we were seeing that some joker part was coming to please audience. It should be, but very that mood of that Brahmin should not be. Should not be?
Joking.
When he came to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami told him that I want to know that whether you want that money or not. So throw it in Jamuna. He simply took it. And very loud, very
strongly.
And after that, Sanatana Goswami knew that he has no wish to have that thing. And he became like this. He thought that, only he thought, that Sanatana Goswami has anything more than this Chintamani. That he has
thrown.
He has kept it hidden anyway. Delhi, that money was not coming to him.
Hurling down to his feet.
You told that it used to come daily. Why Sanatana Goswami will remember this? He forgotten for 40 years or more than that. Where I have kept, he has no remembrance. And when he began to work, he remembered that Shankar has told me that you have something. Then he remembered. What is that thing? I have thrown this touchstone there. You should go and take. When he took and went, after going some distance, not to his home, and he tested all these things and then he came. No. At the same time, in the midway, from midway, he returned and told, I don't want this money. I know that you have more, this is a very third class of bogus, this jewel.
So you forget. So
I don't I want. I know that you have that. I want that better class of, best class of that thing. And he threw it, and he threw it. That should come a vairagya.
Renunciation.
Mood here. So that all audience should have this mood. That I don't want anything of this world. He was in need of money for only to marry her.
Daughter.
Only that. And he went to Shankar and Shankar told that. So more things have come that it should be very good impression all
audience.
They should laugh and make merry. No. It should go in the heart of it. By seeing this, one will show the hear or understand the glory of name. Gaur Prema. Now that your wife, your son, any daughter you have?
No. One son.
At least one son.
He also took medicine from you.
Small family. Very good. Be like this. Bhante Vihari. Always.
Thank you so much for coming.
In last drama, you became sannyasi.
Yes.
Very beautiful part, no? Very beautiful part.
Except
only having tiki. And you?
Krishna,
you become Krishna? Very beautiful Krishna. Very. This last drama was so good. Of Braj Bhav. But you will have to be in the same, always thinking, always meditating all these things. Chaliye, we should go.
Go up here?
Yeah, closest to your heart.
What does that mean?
One more time.
Okay. Oh, angels are qualities that will help you to overcome particular difficulties. Mm-hmm. So the problem of control, trying to control a situation or be controlled, spite, spinelessness, that can be overcome by the qualities of freedom, responsibility, grace, power.
Working.
So the sun is there. The sun means happy future, happiness, sort of simple happiness, satisfaction with just life in a very simple way. Kind of childlike happiness.
What does that represent, the sun?
The sun represents, yeah, that kind of happiness, satisfaction. Just kind of
that
glow. Yeah, it's a kind of glow.
Do you see it?
I feel it.
You feel it?
Now, you may not... That shows why you don't feel it. Emotionally, you allow yourself to be stretched.
Mm-hmm.
But actually speaking, the sun is there, which is a kind of radiance that's from within. Maybe that's why the monk is there, showing you that you need to go in order to see it. Because see, what's covering you is this constant ongoing communication. It's ongoing. See the eight wands? It's like eight different lines of communication open. You know, it's just constant ongoing communication.
Talking externally.
That's covering your heart. Your heart's glowing and warm and sunny and bright.
Hmm.
But there's always communication going on. Right? And that's covering
my mind with everybody else outside. So I have to hush it.
That's what this is saying over here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get distracted by, it's like a bullhorn. It's like ongoing communication. Whereas the monk is internal, at peace. Okay, so given that's what's going on with your heart, look, it's gorgeous. Look how beautiful that is. It's nice, it's beautiful, it's warm and friendly. In your heart, it's there's a glowing warmth. Not love-like affection, but just a kind of satisfaction. Yeah? It's not peace. Peace is a different card. It's more like a kind of happiness that's just internally there. But you've got all these, you get this card of communication, just ongoing, just vibrations constantly going to and from. So that's covering this happiness that's inside. The happiness is first and foremost. That's the closest thing to you. That happiness is there. It's a part of you. It's just with the ongoing vibrations. It's hard for you to get in touch with that. Because it's crossing it, it's covering it. You see? Now, in your conscious mind, what you're aware of, this is, I'm going to get the box so I can throw these dice. Venus in Mercury. Venus is friends, you know, that which you want to attract yourself, friends. Nice vibrations with other people, seventh house. You get so many people, Gemini, right? That's also communication. So many people, nice people.
Bahunishta. I have to become Agnishta.
What? This is saying you're aware of your enthusiasm for this is association, the it's like an established. You're talking about a community here, right? And you have enthusiasm, but at the same time, there's another card here. Love is reversed, which means it's almost like the choice has been made for you to be involved in this kind of open exchange that's ongoing. The decision has almost been made for you to be a part of it. Also, there's a kind of, the love is reversed means somehow or another, it's not, you know, it's not quite right. You need to know, you don't know where to have the boundaries, where to create the, you know, the
so all the external, really?
It's not necessarily external. It's got to do with feeling the need to somehow or another put some of it at a distance. The relationships. I'm talking about relationships as such. It's not that they're necessarily external even, but it's too much is too much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
too much.
On one hand, yes, you need to have this association. You're creating, what we've got here is a community. It might be a temporary community where personalities come, go, move, and like that, but it's a community.
Mm-hmm.
So you have enthusiasm for that. At the same time, there's this understanding that some of it needs to be at a distance. Are you having difficulties with any persons here?
Yes, I would say there is some difficulty, but it's not something that I can live. Yeah, I mean, I can't live with, you know.
Yeah. So it's a kind of distancing, as well as being a part of a whole.
Distancing from people. Well, yeah. My distancing is this. I always wanted to cook and, you know, be involved with the prasadam distribution, do this, do that.
Yeah,
I don't feel so much the need for it anymore.
Yeah.
I really am happy to do this other service, which is transcribing, listening to Gurudev, making sure I get all the tapes. That's a nice service for the whole community. But transcribing these tapes is for my own benefit and for the benefit of the books. But my own benefit so I can really hear what you're saying and try to embrace that.
Okay, this isn't saying anything is negative. It's saying that you're making a choice here. And it's got to do with relationships, keeping some at a distance. And it's not because of hatred or anger or anything, but it's got to do with the fact that it's in order to increase your enthusiasm. The choices you're making, or you've made, are in order to increase your own enthusiasm.
Okay.
Right? Energy, your energy. It's showing that you're trying to make good choices about that.
Mm-hmm.
What's underneath is that you haven't yet found the resources within which to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's almost like you get enthusiasm to do something a certain way. That's together. What's underneath is the fact that you can't seem to keep it together to do that. But you're finding yourself gradually, slowly, somewhat coming out of difficulties with this. It's finding your feet. It's finding your way through it. You got some. It seems like a kind of concern that you can't keep up with what's going on around you, that it keeps falling apart on you, that you can't keep together. You're not together. It's like it just keeps going. Like you have to keep making changes on where you're heading and what you're doing. Practically speaking, it's very difficult. You know that it's almost like things keep shifting because of practical arrangements. So you're not quite sure, you can't get the resources together in order to handle whatever change is there. It keeps shifting, moving. It's all got to do with practical things, you know, practical arrangements, but it keeps changing every time, it just keeps changing. And on account of it, you just can't seem to work out how to go about doing these different changes, because it does keep shifting. All you know is that whatever's there, you can't depend on it. Because it keeps changing. So it seems like if you make a
permanent.
Yeah. That's why this card is upside down. It's showing any particular project, enterprise, whatever, you can assume that it's going to change anyway. But you're learning to cope with it. And that's good. Okay, you don't necessarily know what you're going to need and whatever, and you can't seem to get it together, but you do know that whatever change, I know what I'm trying to say. Whatever changes there are, you know that somehow or another you're going to have to be able to cope with it and move through it. So what's changing for you, or what's actually helping you, is to know that whatever is there, I can't predict, I can't control, I can't do anything, but I've got to move through it without losing equilibrium, or somehow or another be able to handle it emotionally and come out of any sort of difficulty. If anything seems to be difficult, it's only because you haven't learned how to handle it. So you just gotta, you're aware of having to somehow or another move through it without getting, you know, trounced, squashed emotionally, you know, going through some sort of upheaval. But it's trying to find that those inner resources to do it. It's a struggle. You know that you can't depend on anything particular because it is just upside down. You don't really know. Now, that's what's going on in the mental side of things. Emotionally, that's where you're not actually seeing the happiness. There's happiness there. You got everything there. You can't actually see it necessarily. Here's your children. Everything's lovely with them. Yeah. You can't see it, though. It's like the Ten of Cups is a beautiful card for love and happiness. Upside down, it means you can't really recognize it for what it is. But the children are fine. And you're somehow or another, see, the Emperor is upright when it's the authority as such. When it's upside down.
Oh, he's upside down.
Yeah.
Because it's facing you.
Yeah.
Right.
So when the Emperor is upside down, it means being more. Okay. I'm going to throw the dice.
This was here, I think.
Yeah, but right side up, upside down, I think it was that one.
Like that, yeah.
Okay. Maybe that should be closed because these cards have been flipped over, it makes it hard.
Okay.
It's about the way you act and approach life. It's almost like. It's like, I hate to say that, because Capricorn is, this card represents Capricorn, and Capricorn I threw. And it's about a kind of approach of trying to be an authority, right? Trying to be the authority, maybe for your children. Maybe you're finding that your situation, you can't see so clearly so much happiness, because it seems like this whole situation is getting in the way of you and your children. And you feel like you've lost control in some way. And you're trying to assert yourself and trying to get some sort of feeling of what's going on with them.
Look at it this way. We keep moving all the time, and they have no schooling. Okay,
yeah.
They keep losing friends as we keep moving.
Yeah.
It's hard for them. They're happy within themselves, but still, it's not an ideal situation. And I worry a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I'm homeschooling them or doing anything. I'm not spending that much time with them, so I feel bad about the children.
Yeah,
I feel they're neglected by me.
Okay, maybe what this is trying to do is give you a little bit of optimism. They're doing fine.
Oh.
Okay? And the situation isn't bad. It is changing. You can't really see how much they're really gaining, but it's actually okay. The only thing that's hard is that you don't actually have so much ability to affect the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is doing, this whole situation, is teaching you to be liberal in relationship with the children.
Liberal,
liberal meaning more flexible.
Uh-huh.
More flexible. It's forcing you to be flexible regarding the children.
I thought I was too liberal with the kids, you know, I got disciplined them hardly. I once in a while get really angry and think, my God, the kids, they just do anything they want.
Yeah.
Because I'm not disciplining them and regulating them.
Yeah.
So it's not their fault, you know?
No, maybe what this is going emotionally. What's happening is, your children are okay. They're in... They're happy.
They're happy. Okay. That's the main thing.
And it's forcing you to be flexible.
Okay.
Now, emotionally, I think you're going to find yourself becoming more and more worried.
Worried?
Yeah.
About?